This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Elgin Talks. My name is Andrew Laurie, and I'm European Content Manager here at Elgin. As the UK prepares to welcome its fourth Prime Minister since 2016, we thought now would be a good time to review the investment outlook for the British economy. And as luck would have it, I'm joined by Hedal Mehta, our senior European economist, who's just written a blog for us on this very subject. Hedal, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Andrew.
You don't have to search too hard to find some pretty gloomy economic forecasts for the UK. But then again, just recently, May's GDP readout came out a bit more positive than we might have expected. When we're trying to prognosticate for the British economy, how can we sort the signal from the noise when month by month these figures seem to fluctuate?
So we have to bear in mind that the latest numbers we had for May are affected by the shuffling round of the bank holidays. So May actually had one extra working day versus normal as the May bank holiday was moved into June. And each working day is around 0.4 percentage points of GDP. So that has in some ways artificially boosted the May numbers, but we will get some payback in June. And actually there were two extra holidays in June versus normal. So we will see some weakness. So it's important to know what those events are, but it's also important to look beyond those fluctuations and look at some of the more fundamental drivers, obviously such as inflation, the labour market, interest rates, etc.
So the party's over in more ways than one.
That's right, yeah.
In your blog, you talk about some of the key challenges facing British growth, from inflation now seeming pretty baked in, to the energy shock following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, to a pretty tight labour market. Inflation in particular is at the top of many people's minds, and the numbers do appear pretty grisly for anybody who doesn't remember the 1970s or 80s. And I'm old enough to remember when many people thought inflation was going to be transitory. Post-COVID, but Russia and Ukraine appear to have baked that into the system. I mean, would that be the number one question mark facing policymakers, is how to handle this inflation?
The current central bank debate has obviously been stoked up by the very, very high inflation numbers. So in the UK, we have inflation running at a 40-year high. So really, for the first time since the shocks that we saw in the 1970s, I'm not quite old enough to remember them firsthand. But for the first time since that point in time, we're seeing really high inflation. And as you say, driven by the energy price increases. But central bankers have a bit of a dilemma on their hands. You know, you've got rising inflation, but yet you've got signs of slowing growth. And that's particularly acute in the UK and Europe, most exposed to the energy shock and the uncertainty around the conflict in Russia and Ukraine as well. So I think in the very near term, central banks do have to focus on inflation, particularly when inflation expectations are very high. The risk is that if they don't act sooner and maybe more aggressively, then you start seeing the wage inflation spiral. We're already seeing wage growth pick up. We have a tight labour market, as you mentioned earlier. But for central bankers, it's very important to get ahead of that, to stop inflation getting worse and therefore to stop eating away at people's purchasing power. But they do have to bear in mind that growth is slowing. And ultimately, we think by the turn of the year, that's going to constrain their ability to carry on hiking.
So the stakes are pretty high for the Bank of England. Consequences not great for the markets if they get it wrong.
The path that central banks are going to take is obviously very important. The one challenge that central banks have had is in communicating their reaction function. So we've had quite a few months now where there have been maybe communication challenges from a number of central banks in terms of communicating their reaction function. What is it that makes them increase interest rates and by how much, in what sort of time frame? I'll just use the ECB as an example here. For a long time, they were talking about interest rates not picking up in 2022. And then obviously we've had a number of things that have shifted them and we're about to see interest rates move up in Europe for the first time in over a decade. They've had to keep changing their narrative, of course, and that makes it difficult for financial markets, obviously, to see a clear trajectory. So there is obviously some volatility in markets as a result of that.
So, I mean, what we're talking about here is uncertainty going forward. And when you think about the British context, one of the chief sources of uncertainty is obviously Brexit, which has attracted just a little bit of discussion over the past 5 or 6 years. It's not a great secret that Brexit has kept uncertainty high and perhaps acted as a bit of a thumb in the scale with regard to investment in the UK. And I was struck in your blog when you talked about it's fairly common knowledge in financial circles that investment in the UK has lagged the rest of Europe and the US since 2016. But if we look at the kind of immediate post-COVID period, investment has fallen off a cliff.
Yes, investment has been particularly weak. I look at business investment versus the US and the euro area, and it has been moving sideways since about 2016, fell sharply in COVID times, as it did elsewhere. But the recovery thereafter has been quite muted. And that's a big problem for the future capacity of the UK economy to grow. And then business confidence in general has been weakening, particularly again after the energy price shock, and that's feeding into higher costs for businesses as well as consumers. And then we also have to look at the weakness of sterling to some extent as a barometer. That's also quite weak, but it's not just sterling that's weak against the dollar. Many other currencies are as well. So that's not really unique to the UK.
Now, at the time that we're recording this, the contest to lead the Conservative Party is ongoing. One of its key themes has been various candidates promising various degrees of tax cuts. And in an inflationary environment, some would say that that would run the risk of, you know, de facto pumping more money into the economy, which would have an inflationary impact. Is that a risk that we're running in the UK?
I think lowering taxes at a time when inflation is running very high does risk making the problem worse. It does depend on how well targeted that is at people who are most exposed to the inflation shock and how temporary it is. If it was a very short stimulus that was then withdrawn, perhaps it wouldn't be significant enough for inflation dynamics to take hold. But I think some of the proposals for more longer term tax cuts at this time do risk making that dilemma more acute, and obviously does risk the Bank of England having to hike at a faster pace.
So if we take all this in the round, it's on the one hand, it's policy challenges. On the other hand, quite a large degree of consensus among forecasters that we're facing a recession sooner rather than later. Can we anticipate with any confidence how long and deep that recession may be?
So that's a good question. It's always tricky for economists. We don't often forecast recessions in real time or even ahead of them occurring. But I think given the nature of the shock that we're seeing, the extent of inflation picking up, the real income squeeze we will see as wages, even though rising, can't keep pace with that, does make us expect a recession at the turn of the year. But calibrating the exact size of that is incredibly difficult. I mean, typically UK recessions tend to see between 2 and 6% lower GDP. Obviously, the last two recessions that we've had, the pandemic-induced one and the financial crisis, were probably on the larger end of that spectrum. Certainly the pandemic one was very significantly. So we shouldn't be too anchored by those two most recent events, because they were, you know, I'd say once in a generation. The financial crisis was very much driven by a credit crunch. We're not seeing signs of a acute credit crunch in the UK. Credit conditions are tightening slightly, but still not at an aggressive pace. So I would say that we're looking at a mild recession, but the exact depth of that is very much unknown. And of course, we discussed the possible tax cuts. So fiscal policy is still a bit of a wild card at this stage, and we could actually see that lift the GDP profile or actually dampen it further.
So it's a recession, but probably not as bad as two of the worst recessions in history.
Yep, that's a pretty good summary.
Well, thank you, Hedl, for a very, very sobering and broad-reaching view. If you want to read Hedl's blog, you can find it at elginblog.com. Hedl, thank you very much for your time. Before we let you go, we'd like to have our guests on the podcast offer a little recommendation for anything they've been reading or watching or otherwise consuming that they might want to share with our listeners. Is there anything you want to make a song and dance about?
I don't have as much time to read these days as I did, thanks to my little one. But I was talking to some colleagues recently about great books I've read. And one from 20 years ago that really sticks in my mind is Maestro, which is a book about Alan Greenspan. So I would definitely recommend that. It's an oldie, but a goodie.
I'll get it on my to-read pile as soon as possible. Thank you very much, and we'll speak to you soon.
Enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of Legal and General Investment Management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, elgim.com. Copyright 2021 Legal and General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, a licensed corporation, BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission. For professional investors only.